2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Thanks for listening this afternoon. KSL News Time, 3:15. The three things you need to know this hour first.
A new proposed quarry in Parley's Canyon is one step closer to approval, but opponents say it'll pump tons of dust into the Salt Lake Valley and negatively impact the environment. I'm KSL News Radio's Amy Kobe.
Second, Salt Lake City police say a man drowned in the Jordan River last night. They haven't released the victim's name. Third, our biggest traffic trouble spot.
Salt Lake City PD responding to a new accident, possibly with injuries, 500 West, 400 North, and a crash in West Valley City. It's on the exit ramp from southbound on the West Belt at 3500 South. Ricky Meese in the KSL Traffic Center.
Dry with highs in the mid-80s today, but more storms coming. I'm Matt Johnson.
Gentle breeze, 81 degrees. Now, KSL's top national stories.
From ABC News. I'm Lindsay Davis, anchor of Prime, streaming weeknights on ABC News Live. The House Rules Committee is meeting to review the compromise bill to raise the debt limit and whether to advance it to the full House. Both House Speaker Kevin McCarthy and President Biden are facing pushback from members of their own parties. ABC's Jay O'Brien is on Capitol Hill.
The focus here is on moderates, particularly moderate Democrats, whose votes will have to offset any Republicans that go against this deal and vote against it on Wednesday.
If lawmakers fail to raise the debt ceiling, the U.S. could default on its bills on Monday, June 5th. In Iowa, demolition of the partially collapsed apartment complex is now on hold. At least five people are unaccounted for, and two may be in the building. Lisa Brooks evacuated the building. She says she's thankful to be alive.
I'm going to keep my head up, chin up all the time.
Nine people have been rescued since the collapse. Theranos founder Elizabeth Holmes is now in a federal minimum security prison in Texas, starting her 11-year sentence for defrauding investors out of millions. Here's ABC's Rebecca Jarvis.
Her days will begin at 6 a.m. She'll be expected to make her bed to keep her cell nice and clean, and she will be reviewed for that type of cleanliness. She also will be wearing a khaki uniform, no more black turtlenecks, and she'll start by working in the kitchen for 90 days, making 12 cents an hour.
Holmes is about one of 650 women at that prison. The Carter family announcing former First Lady Rosalynn Carter has dementia. In a statement, they say she continues to live happily at home with her husband in Plains, Georgia. The 95-year-old has been a leading advocate for mental health. ABC's Steve Osensami has more.
Long before we were openly talking about mental health in the way that we do today, she was leading the charge to treat mental health and to talk about mental health as if we would talk about any other human illness.
The former president is in hospice care at the couple's home. You're listening to ABC News.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Time for the KSL In-Depth.
Flood Watch, special coverage on KSL News Radio.
Well, we made it through the unofficial kickoff to summer without too much in the way of flooding. So this seems like a good time to check in with the National Weather Service. And we are joined live by National Weather Service meteorologist Mike Wessler. Mike, thanks for joining us. Let's start with this. What does the flood risk look like at this point?
Well, thankfully, we've had a really slow and steady melt through the last couple weeks. We've been able to drop some of our flood headlines, notably the South Fork of the Ogden, the Duchesne River at Mighton, and we've also been able to downgrade the Logan River from a warning to advisory. So we are seeing some of our peak flows start to wane. That said, we do still have a few products out. We're looking at warnings for the Bear River at the state line. And we've got a warning for the Sevier River at Hatch down south, still running high, but they are starting to just creep below flood stage.
You know, I am surprised that you mentioned the Logan River starting to improve. It was just on Thursday that they declared a state of emergency along the banks of the Logan River.
Absolutely. That was a very significant peak flow. But thankfully, the cooler temperatures that are forecast in the coming days, as well as some of that moisture percolating into the soil, into the groundwater, has helped reduce the peak flows at this point. And they are not forecast to return to anything like what we've seen in the past couple of days.
I am looking at the forecast for the next 4 or 5 days or so, and these thunderstorms return. Is that going to ratchet the intensity back up again?
It absolutely could, but the probability of that's much lower, right? One of those storms would have to basically track down the river up in its headwaters and put down a significant amount of water to cause another flood rise like that. So the chances are with those scattered thunderstorms of one finding the right spot is quite low, but it's not impossible.
I have one more question for you. I don't know if you can answer this or keep track of this. Snowbird. We were hearing all winter they have 800 million inches of snow. How many of those inches are left there?
So as far as when we talk about what's left this time of year, we're not actually talking about inches of snow, although the Alta snow depth sensor is showing right about 120 inches of base depth still remaining, which is impressive. What I think is more impressive is the amount of water in the snowpack at Snowbird is more right now than we had at our peak last year. We're sitting at about 37 inches of water right now at Snowbird, and last year we peaked on April 27th with 34 inches of water.
Mike Wessler, thanks so much. We appreciate the update on the situation up there. So a lot of water still to come. Hopefully it comes down in orderly fashion. We appreciate it.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.